Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 253 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some girls soccer tonight. My first guest is the head coach at Ankeny, and he has guided the Hawkettes to the state tournament all four of his seasons as head coach, including a state title in 2019. His team posted a 12-4-1 record a year ago and returned seven all-conference players from that squad. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Yeah, good time. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you bet. When we're getting ready to head off to practice right now, I was at the Ankeny boys game last night, and the weather was just brutal. But at least it's a little nicer today, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful today, and it looks really nice for the weekend coming up for the tournament. So hopefully we get have to put you outside again in that balmy weather so you can enjoy it.
Well, I know your team hosted ADM, the number 9 squad in the Class 2A preseason rankings, in a jamboree on Friday. I haven't talked to you since before then. So how did your team look? What did you learn about your squad that night?
Yeah, it was a good chance for, you know, we got 21, we picked 21 girls for the first team. We're dealing with a couple of injuries that will come back in a couple of weeks. So we played 18 girls in the game. So we played two 25-minute halves. So it was a good opportunity to and get the starters out for the first 25, and then we mixed in the other girls the second 25. So yeah, look, we had two practices before the game, so it was a lot more feeling each other out before we could really, you know, give our ideas and stuff like that. So it was a great learning opportunity for what the girls can do in a full 11-11 game, and yeah, just giving us the ideas of what to work on this week going forward into the games this weekend. So yeah, it was a really good opportunity.
And was ADM, was that a team that could challenge you a little bit?
They have a really good forward that's going to Iowa, so little Mackie going to be playing with her next year. So she's rapid, so she hit the crossbar in the first 2 minutes, and kind of you understand why those Power 5 kids are like difference makers. So you're like, oh, okay. And then after that, we did a good job of shutting down after just figuring out like what we're playing against. So yeah, again, it was more an opportunity to see like what problems do arise. Which quite a few did, which is good, because then it gives us the keys to focus on for practice for this week going into the BCG and AMK.
Well, your team is fourth in the Class 3A preseason rankings that were released today. There's certainly a lot of familiar names in that top 10. You know, was there anything about the rankings that surprised you, and are you guys ranked about where you thought you'd be?
Probably, you know, maybe, I don't know. It's just, it's one guy's opinion. I was saying about the rankings, it's not a coach's poll where you have a broad spectrum across the state. It's just one guy that just picks. He gets a prospectus and he just puts it together and he throws them. So I think like Valley and Northwest are probably 1 and 2, but nobody's kicked the ball. Well, their preseason rankings, a couple of teams have played, but yeah, they are what they are, and you know what I mean, no one really cares about the first set that comes out. But yeah, it's obviously nice to get a little bit of recognition from the start, but we haven't kicked the ball yet. So yeah.
Well, like you mentioned, you guys will open the season this weekend by hosting a pair of games in the Crosstown Invitational. You'll play DCG, the number one team in Class 2A, on Friday at 5 p.m., and then you'll meet Ames on Saturday at 11 a.m. And I know that DCG is already 1-0. They opened their season on Monday with a 2-0 victory at Johnston, which is the defending Class 3A champs. You know, so they're certainly going to be a big test for you, aren't they?
Very good. They're a 3A team in 2A class. They're solid over. They got Division 1 kids all over. I was at the game. So I went after practice and watched them play, and they're solid. They would be, they'd qualify for state in 3A. So someone had to give them a spot. They're very good, very well coached. Dan's a good guy. And I don't know how many games they've lost in the last 2 years in 2A, but they've beaten 3A teams the last couple of years. But yeah, they're solid. It'll be a really tough test. They're a top team.
Well, I'm going to try to get to that game. That should be a good one. Let's talk about your team a little bit. You guys returned three of the starters from last year's back line that allowed only 3 goals all year. That's Elizabeth Proctor, Sophie Leffler, and Avery Taylor. You know, do you kind of expect the defense to be the strength of the team again, you know, at least early on?
Well, I mean, it's nice because when you don't concede a goal, you're in every game. And that's kind of the mantra we've had in the last couple of years. Like, we've conceded 5 goals in 2 years, which is crazy when you think about it, but a lot of hard work goes into that, and a lot of it goes down to the kids buying in, and we've been blessed with some fantastic soccer players that have been tough to beat, and they've bought into the things that we thought. And but yeah, we've had some really good kids that have been able to, you know, shut teams down and concede very few, and then that gives us a chance because we don't score a lot of goals, and it's one of the things that we gotta get better at ourselves. Is we got to coach them to be a little bit more creative in the final third and a little bit more ruthless over the goal, so that we're steering clear of those 0-0 ties that we had last year that go down as losses. Because we have to play PK, so again, we'll be solid at the back, strong-ish in the midfield, and again we really want to work on scoring more goals next year, so this season, so that we can avoid those 0-0 games, 1-0 games that are scrappy, that you have to play your stars the whole game. I think that's what kills us throughout the length of the season, is you're playing your better players for 80 minutes a game, back-to-back-to-back, and so you don't really get rest. So again, that's probably one of the things that we need to work on a little bit more.
Yeah, a guy asked me after my preview story came out, he said, I'm confused, how did they lose 4 games when they only gave up 3 goals all year? So I don't think he quite understood all the different intricacies of soccer. So.
And honestly, we don't either. Like, it's funny, and I think Iowa's the only state still that ends on PKs. College scrapped overtime too, they just do a straight tie. I think we're all long in the tooth enough where we understand that a tie, like, it's okay that teams aren't the same, especially first game. Like, we could go to PKs against the boys team, went to PKs last night, first game of the season.
Right.
PKs, you gotta have a winner or a loser. It's okay that Pella and Ankeny are the same.
Yeah.
Just let's score. So it's tough on Pella, but that's the nature of the beast. That's the rules we play by. But yeah.
Would you be okay with just doing away with the PKs?
Yeah, I think everyone would. I think if you ask Chris later coming in, overtime PKs, just get rid of it. 80 minutes. It's okay to end the tie. Like, it's such a low scoring sport. If number one plays number five, then they tie, and they tie. You know, so there's good ties where the team hangs on and gets a result, and if number one, number two plays each other in a tie, like, maybe they're just the same. You know, it doesn't have to be a winner. It's okay. And maybe I'm speaking for a lot of our coaches that echo the same thing. I know we lobbied for it, but again, I think American sports love a winner. And every other sport, you've got overtime in football and basketball and stuff like that. It's just air sports, just unique, where you cover a lot of distance in a short amount of time. It's such a condensed season that
we're
trying to limit the injuries on the kids. And we have long away games. We have away games in Cedar Falls and Cedar Rapids Prairie, and you have to get back at midnight. They got to get up at 8 a.m. to go to school. There's lots of things, but yeah, I think... it's not just me speaking that. I think a lot of other coaches would say the same thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but like, what do you do in tournament play then? Like, when you get to the state tournament, you just go
tournaments different. Tournaments, overtime, PKs, every day of the week. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The first game of the season, we had a couple of years ago, 2021, we played Iowa City West away, first game of the season, and tied 1-1 with the PKs, and it's like, first game of the season, you're going to PKs. It's just, head scratching. I got my friends back home who follow us. My family was like, why are you going to penalties first game of the season? What are you doing? I was like, this is the rules. This is the uniqueness of the sport. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I know Elizabeth is coming back from a torn ACL that she suffered in last year's state tournament. So, how's she looking?
She goes to the doctor on Monday to get fully cleared. So, she won't play this weekend. So, she's been practicing. She's been doing non-contact practice up until... it was a late injury because it was June, she's going to go Monday, get a final clearance. It might be too soon for her to play against Cedar Falls. She's hoping to play either in the Waukee game or the Johnson game here in 2 or 3 weeks. But yeah, so we don't want to rush her back. We need her she's started the game for us for the last 3 years. We don't need her back for the start of the season. We need her back in May when it's important. So again, we want to be patient with her as much as possible, as much as she wants to play.
Sure. Well, the good news is that your defense has been strengthened by the addition of Cam Scheib. She's an all-state volleyball player who used to play club soccer, and she's joined the team this year. You know, how big of an impact, do you think she's going to have?
Yeah, she's a beast, man. She's of her own accord. She's very, very competitive, and you watch her out there. Like, she gets mad in practice. There's Sage walking past right there. She gets mad in practice when things go wrong. And she's really competitive, and she brings the competitiveness of her volleyball stuff over to soccer, and it's great to see. And it's been a bit of a blessing because it fills a big hole that we had there with Jenna leaving. So Cam, again, she's a volleyball kid, she's a stud volleyball player, she's playing club volleyball right now. She's not going to be here this weekend, so we're going to have a couple of holes to fill. But again, we want her playing in when volleyball season gets done, and we had the conversation that volleyball was her priority. And she wants to work on that, and she wants to use soccer as helps the team get better. She wants to work on her fitness and stuff like that. So she'll miss a couple of games here and there throughout the season, but yeah, she'll make the team better.
Well, we can't talk about the defense without talking about the goalkeeper position. Of course, you have to replace Jasmine Moser, who was an All-Stater a year ago. You know, I know you have at least a couple of girls, Teva Ganahi and Claire Close, battling for the spot. You know, have either of those girls emerged as the number one keeper?
Yeah, it will probably be Claire. Sylvia was a JV kid, and she's doing really well for us. So, yeah, it'll be between those three who will get the minutes. Sylvia just committed to Loris. There she is right there. Look, she's late. She just committed to Loris. We're blessed with three decent goalkeepers that all get on really well together, and they're all competing really well, and yeah, they're a fun group. Big hole to fill. You know, Jasmine conceded 5 goals in 2 years, which is crazy by any stretch. You know, she, I think it was 45 games, something like that, where she's done mad things. So it'll be tough to fill, and we've got a lot of work to do. But they're good kids, and they're working really hard, and they want to get better every day, which is important.
Well, you also have some of your key attacking players back this season as well. You mentioned Allie Mackey. She led the team last year with 16 points, and she's already committed to Iowa. Emma Gott is also back, along with Cameron Dietz and Ava Paoli. You know, do you think this will be a team with a pretty balanced attack again?
Hope so. You know, on paper, those kids that you just listed off there, they can do some really good things. You know, they are a bit rusty in practice now, but they haven't really had the opportunity just yet of games, stuff like that. Emma was injured for a big part of the season. Cam tore a retina towards the end of the season. Ava was a freshman last year. Mackie had to change roles a little bit to become a goal scorer. She usually plays a little bit deeper for her club stuff and plays a little bit more of a possession-oriented style as opposed to, you know, effective on the dribble and scoring goals and stuff like that. So the kids are definitely adapting to what the high school needs. And us coaches, Trevor and myself, are adapting to the kids, and we're trying to meet somewhere in the middle so that we can be effective and you know, put out a good product and hopefully win some games.
Well, of course, Allie and Sophie are both members of the track team as well, and they both ran in the state championship 4x800 relay last year. They'll be doing double duty again this season. You know, and they're obviously used to juggling the two sports, and you and Coach Jumper are as well. You know, but that doesn't make it any easier. I mean, that's a tough thing to do, isn't it?
It's difficult. We had Emma's going out this year too as a senior. Little Lizzie's going to play. Cam's obviously doing her volleyball stuff, so it's different. The kids do so much, which is great. You know, you want them to explore everything that the high school has, and Ankeny High School supports that. You know, multi-sport athletes, and you see some tremendous multi-sport athletes across boys and girls, all the sports, so it's great. Selfishly, as a soccer coach, you want them there all the time for everything. That's just not the case. So again, we adapt. That's why we Wednesdays, Thursdays, we go at 6 o'clock in the evening, so that they can go to track. So we were just at the high school there setting up before I came up, and the girls were running track. They were doing their sprint stuff that they needed, and Coach Chipper's been great. He understands that you run a lot in soccer, you do a lot of sprints. After the game on Friday, send them the GPS data to understand, like, this is how far they ran, this is the sprints that they did, so, you know, they didn't miss a workout, so that he can kind of adapt as well. So again, yeah, we have to collaborate really well, work hard together, but yeah, the kids are a priority. They want to do all these things, and us coaches, except we can be selfish as much as we want, but yeah, we're here to support the kids.
It sounds like you're really careful not to overwork them.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, and like, we were plagued so much with injuries last year that we just need to be gentle. I don't think that the majority of our injuries last year, besides probably Emma's hamstring, was contact, which means it was a tackle, as opposed to, you know, just pulling up with a soft tissue injury, stuff like that. So it was a lot of the three ACLs that we had, two ACLs had through contact. Cam got hit in the eye. Jenna had the weird heart thing. Like, it was a lot of things that was out of control, and we're just trying to control as much as we can with the injury front of, you know, periodizing our season, doing the right thing in practice, make sure we're not overworking them, and trying to get as much rest and recovery in between games, because it's a gauntlet. It's every 3 days they're playing games and they're maxing themselves out. So yeah, we've got to do a really good job with that to not overwork the kids so that we can play with them all season.
Well, yeah, Sydney Van Howling is another player who was coming back from a torn ACL that she suffered a year ago. You know, I'm sure you're hoping for a lot better luck this year in that injury department. Have you been able to avoid any serious mishaps thus far?
Yeah, we've been fine. We said we take it easy. And like, Sid is, you know, she's coming back. She had a year off, and she had a couple of months with club season towards the end. She tore it so early. She tore it this week last year. And, you know, she just wants to play. You know, she just wants to last the season. And, you know, us coaches have a responsibility to not overwork the kids, and it's not hurt them any more than they would do. And but yeah, I'm excited for her to play. I'm excited for her to get out. She's got some cobwebs off. She played one high school game and 20 minutes of a second game and was done. And that was her freshman experience, which kind of sucks. But again, she's worked really hard to get back. She's got herself in great shape. And yeah, she's going to be a big factor for us this year.
We talked about the rankings a little bit earlier, but yeah, when you look at that Class 3A landscape as a whole, Valley is number one in those preseason rankings, followed by Northwest and Waukee. And of course, the Valley and Northwest will both be playing in the Crosstown Invitational this weekend, so you'll probably get a chance to see what they look like a little bit. And your team will play at Waukee next Friday, so you'll see them then. You know, but it sure looks like the CIML Conference will be dominant again. Johnston is ranked fifth, and Centennial is seventh, so six of the top seven teams, you know, are from your conference. You know, your schedule is just going to be a gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, like we purposely go out of our way to, you know, schedule teams that we think are you know, decent enough. Like we don't need to play DCG, yeah, very good team in 2A. Like I said, they're a top 8 3A team, in my opinion. I watch them play, very, very good. Like we're playing Cedar Falls next week. They have a Division 1 girl on the team, you know, they have got good players. Cedar Rapids Prairie, I don't know much about, they're normally top 15, so and then just CIML is just chaos, you know, like on any given day. Southeast Polk could be in there, and I think that's everyone. I think besides Southeast Polk, they're the only team not in the top 15. Urbandale was one of the last ones in of the nine, and he said it's tough. It's really tough to do, and you just hope that doing the rankings that they factor in, like it's okay to be 4-4 in our conference as opposed to being 13-0 in another conference.
Right.
And if that one person can understand that, which we hope they do, then we don't mind taking a knock here and there, because 7-4 in our conference is very good. If you think about, like, we refer to like an SEC or a Big Ten, like it's
right.
Okay to be get a couple of knocks because everybody's just as good as each other as opposed to 13-0 from a mid-major, for lack of a better term. So. Yeah, so we know it's going to be a tough test, and there's no days off on any game that we have this season. So, yeah, we're up for it. I know the girls appreciate playing against tough competition all the time. And I think that's why you see the CIML do so well at state, is because they play top teams all year. So when it comes to the tough competition at the end of May, going into June, they've seen that every single week. I think that's why it correlates so well to championships and wins in the state tournament.
Well, the state did a good job during basketball season, because both Ankeny and Centennial had quite a few losses, you know, during basketball season, but they still were ranked pretty high, and that helped them with their seeding in the postseason. So I'm sure that'll help you guys as well too. And it probably helps for all you guys to be ranked so high at the beginning, because if you are beating each other, they're not going to drop you much. So.
Yeah, I think that's what I said. If we're number three and we're number four and two beats three or whatever it is, like we shouldn't jump. Like we just should. That's what I'm saying. It's okay to tie. Like
yeah.
If we tie Valley, that doesn't mean that number three should jump up, and that's just my opinion about how it should work. But yeah, everyone's good. Everything we play that is ranked or not will give us a decent game. Like we no disrespect to any schools that are out there, we didn't schedule any games that we're going to win 10-0 and have Mercy Road like we used to have in our own conference. So,
right.
We don't have that anymore. It's close games. It's competitive. It's 80 minutes where you can't switch off. And I think the kids enjoy that as much as we do as coaches, you know, to get you ready. And the tough competition hopefully will get us ready for the end of the season with the playoffs.
Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, I'm going to try to make that game on Friday, so I'll probably see you then, Coach.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my second guest tonight is the longtime head coach of the Centennial team, and he has guided the Jaguars to the state tournament 8 times in the 9-year history of the program. His team posted a 10-7-1 record a year ago and returned 6 all-conference players from that squad. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thank you for having me. Thanks for all the coverage for the programs in Ankeny. We really appreciate it.
You bet. One of your team hosted North Polk, the number 5 squad, in the Class 2A preseason rankings in a scrimmage on Saturday. And I haven't talked to you since before then. So how did your team look? What did you learn about your squad that day?
Oh, I thought, first off, that day was... it was just an awesome day to bring North Polk in. They were eager to get a match in. They were supposed to have played on Friday night against Johnson, I believe, in a jamboree. That was canceled due to weather, and so to have them get a chance to open against us and vice versa with that scrimmage, we played 3 periods hockey style, which I think was important because it takes you out of that mindset of like approaching that as a game you have to win, and you really get to approach it more on a developmental aspect. And so in that way, we learned a lot about different formations that we might use. I think in each period, we played a little bit different formation, whether it was personnel changes that made the way we were playing different or the actual structure that we set kids up in looked different. And so it was kind of a non-threatening environment. The kids were taking it seriously. The coach and staff took it seriously. But then the reminder was we were going to break 5 minutes, reset, adjust, give the kids some coaching, go back out for another 25 minutes. And then we actually finished with a PK shootout, despite whatever the score line might have been at the end, to give the kids that experience. So I think we learned a lot about our build and what we need to work on and building up from the back. We learned a little bit about our press, our movement in the midfield. So I've just been real excited about that opportunity, and hopefully we can do it again next year.
Well, I imagine the North Polk was a team they could probably challenge a little bit, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got talented players on the field. They've got Abby Bell, for example, is headed to UNI as a recruit. And there's a couple other players that really stand out. But just, 11-plus kids that, know the game of soccer and play well. So it was a good challenge.
Well, before we talk about your team, I want to ask you about some changes with your coaching staff. I know a longtime assistant Peter Rame retired at the end of last season, but you found a really good replacement in former Centennial goalkeeper Naomi Lopez. What has she brought to the program thus far?
Well, that's the thing is, she was a former goalkeeper for us. She actually played in the midfield a little bit for us too her senior year when injury kind of made us change things up. And she was a part of 2 state championship runs, 3 state tournament runs. She brings all of that experience of being a student athlete in our program. She comes into the program having lived our core values of team, family, and passion, and knows what that meant and kind of how that started and really got some momentum. And so she can share all of that with the girls. Many of our girls want to play at the next level. She was a Division II player at Tiffin, was a captain for their team. She was a captain for us. And so just a ton of experiences that she can share as a part of the girls' journey in soccer and just beyond, too.
Well, the goalkeeper position is probably a good place to start then. You have to replace Kate Bergen, who was one of the best goalkeepers you've ever had, and she played such a vital role in that 2022 state championship team. So who are the girls who will be replacing her?
Right. So right now we have two players that are relatively young for different ways in goalkeeper. We have Maddie Strive, who I approached in the summer. She had a multi-sport background, and I just asked her, do you have any interest in goalkeeping, and she kind of brushed it off, and then sent me an email later and said, "Were you serious about that question?" And I said, "Absolutely. We're in a position where we'd like to create some competition for goalkeeping. It's not deep for us. We knew there was an eighth grader in Riley Litchfield coming into the program, who we're excited about as well. But it's always good to have competition in a position, especially if you're trying to be at the top, and especially if you're in the CIML. You can't just rest on laurels." And so we started that conversation. She started investing in goalkeeping training. So with her club, the Iowa Rush, she took every goalkeeping training opportunity that she could. From what I understood, we had a goalkeeping camp this summer. She worked with Ashley McCoy, who was also a former assistant of mine when I was at Ankeny. She's a former Iowa State goalkeeper, and she's a teacher at Ankeny now, and took an opportunity to do a three-day training with her as a part of the camp. And so she's just she's been eager to learn the position. So she's one look we have. And then, of course, I mentioned Riley Litchfield, who's a freshman coming in. Her name would have popped up because I believe she was kicking for the freshman team, football team, this fall. And she comes in she's young, but she has more of the experience at goalkeeping. So whereas Maddie is young in terms of goalkeeping, has experience in our program, and is a multi-sport athlete background, Riley's young to our program, but has experience in goalkeeping. So we're letting those two kind of compete for the position right now. We played Strive 2 periods in the scrimmage. We played Riley 1 period, but then Riley also got to be a part of the PK shootout.
Well, that's certainly a position where you want to have some depth because those goalkeepers can get hurt, can't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, there are things that can happen, whether it's being bend your finger back one way or the other, that can threaten that. And that's been a great part of our program. We have Marissa and Naomi, and then we have Allie and Tegan and Kate. And so we've had a lot of depth and a lot of talent at that position. And I think we're working on rebuilding that right now with these two keepers.
the rest of your defense appears to be in really good shape. Madison Balashadis, who was a second-team all-conference pick last year, has returned to the back line along with McKenna Hilton, Evie Boyle, and team captain Avery Lewis. So do you kind of expect the defense to be the strength of the team again, at least early on?
You know, when they ask you about what are your strengths coming back, that to me stood out to me, the fact that in the state tournament, that those were the back four that we were running. Unfortunately for Ella Hudacek, who had been starting earlier in the season last year, she just kind of hit an injury bug and wasn't at full health by the end of the season. So we looked to those four, and they did a nice job. I think you mentioned in your article how that four shut out one of the top scorers in the state, one of the most dangerous forwards that a lot of people have seen in Bettendorf's Carson. Unfortunately, I forget her last name.
Yeah, Mahoney.
You know, and she's an incredible forward, and our back four did a nice job against her in that game. You know, Evie kind of the man marking responsibilities, but when I think Evie got yellow carded at one point in the game and had to sit 5 minutes, then we had to step up and solve that problem in other ways, and they're able to do it until Evie's return in the second half, where she resumed those responsibilities. So I think, yeah, they did a nice job. And even in our a game against Northwest in the quarterfinal, which we dropped 2-0, but we gave up an own goal and we gave up a PK. And we were under a lot of pressure that game. And so I think, you know, those girls did a nice job there as well. So I think we're building off of something strong.
We do have some other key returnees as well. Ava Martin is the team's top returning scorer after racking up 8 goals and 4 assists a year ago. Midfielder Emery Becker is also back. You have 3 other kids who started at times last year, Addison Fair, Gabby Lawrence, and Emily Conger. So this is really a pretty experienced group, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of what you're saying there, and a lot of those girls are also on the 2022 team, with the exception of any of them who are sophomores right now. So they have that experience of competing in the state championship. And so we'll have to call on that. I mean, I had mentioned this as well. There's going to be a lot of problems we will have to solve. Our build from the attacking or the defensive third wasn't fantastic in the scrimmage. We were getting the ball across half a lot, but we weren't always getting across half in possession. And we'd like to have control of the ball as we cross half, not have to create transitions. And so solving that problem with some of these players and making sure we get them in the right spots or get them the right amount of minutes on the field to impact the game in the way that they can for the longest amount of time that they can is going to be really important. And, you know, we're going to jump right into it starting Friday. And so, but hopefully we can use this weekend to figure some more things out about ourselves.
Well, unfortunately, you won't have Olivia Crosskid this season. The University of Denver recruit suffered a torn ACL and will be out for the season. But you told me that you have some other plans for her this year. She seems to have, you know, really embraced that role, hasn't she?
Absolutely. I mean, I just saw it today. You know, so I've kind of tagged her with paying attention to our midfield shape. And so we're in the scrimmage, and she's got, you know, notes, and she's watching that, no problem. But even today, when we were working on generating some wide attacks. But one of the problems we were running into is positioning of our midfielders. And, you know, as Emery and Maddie and Emily and Kerrigan Miller, whatever assortment we have in there, as they work that out, which is, it's natural to be trying to solve that. But Olivia tapped me and she's like, hey, do you mind if we talk about this? I'm like, absolutely, Liv. And I actually turned them over to her. And so she talked about, you know, can we get a little bit closer together in this situation? And can we adjust our angles so that you can see one another? And so I think is the more she stays engaged, the better for her recovery, but it's also the better for us as a team.
Well, maybe she's got a chance to be a coach someday.
I would love that. So I love that for any of our players.
Well, your team is a 7th in the Class 3A preseason rankings that were released today. There's certainly a lot of familiar names in that top 10. You know, was there anything about the rankings that surprised you, and are you guys ranked about where you thought you'd be?
So full disclosure, I haven't even looked at the top 8. I saw the rankings, and I saw where we were, but I didn't have the time to look too deeply into it. So I think I believe Valley's number 1.
Yep, and then Northwest, Waukee, Ankeny, Johnston, PV, and then you guys.
Okay, all right. So, yeah. I think right now, if you look at things returning, and Northwest has, they benefited from some 2 really good movements from what I hear. And Valley, Zoe's got a lot of depth. I think that probably makes sense where those 2 teams are. Again, they were very close to competing in the championship. Johnston pulled it all together and probably surprised everybody. And credit to them, they figured out ways to win constantly through the season. So they deserve to be up there as well. But I think with those 2 programs, the number of athletes that they have come out for them, you know, Northwest JV1 team last year looked like a strong CIML varsity team. And so I think it makes sense where they are. I mean, everybody's going to have to prove themselves week after week against one another, and games can go anyway. But for where we sit somewhere in that next, you know, next tier or whatever, that probably makes sense as well, given that we graduated some really strong attacking options. And we'll just have to kind of show what we're worth, I guess, as we go.
Well, you guys will open the season this weekend by hosting a pair of games in the Crosstown Invitational. You'll play Ames on Friday at 5 p.m., and then you'll meet Pleasant Valley on Saturday at 11 a.m. I just mentioned that the Spartans are sixth in the preseason rankings. You know, so they're certainly going to provide a big test, aren't they?
Yeah. Just looking at their returning roster, I think they have two Division I recruits in what they return. Unfortunately, we won't know a ton about them. You know, they've got a game in already against Davenport Central, I believe, which was a 6-0 game for them. And I haven't unfortunately been able to uncover the film on that game. But we'll do our homework and network with the coaches that we know and see what we can find. And then we have the opportunity to watch them Friday night after our game. So that will help us out a bit too, because we always like to prepare, you know, to whatever extent we can for the teams that we'll face. But the fact that they're below us in the ranking, that's a little motivation as well for the kids, is an opportunity to go after that next level. And so hopefully we can use that to kind of get after it on Saturday.
Sure. Well, then I know next week Centennial will host Omaha Scott Catholic in a girls-boys doubleheader on April 5th. Now, I'm assuming that's a team that will also give you a pretty big challenge?
Yeah, they're, I think, 9-time state champions in Nebraska. So the schedule will not be easy, you know, all the way through, which as long as we can stay healthy, that'll be good for us, because you need to be battle tested by the time you try to roll into the state tournament and qualify and then to make your way through it. And I think that's a benefit for us and our schedule, is that we're not going to shy away from the tough games.
Well, I mentioned what those rankings were. You will see Pleasant Valley this weekend before you play them. Of course, they're the only team in that top seven that isn't from your conference, because, like I said, you got Valley, Northwest at the top, and Waukee, and they can just go right on down the list. So it certainly kind of looks like the CIML conference will be dominant again. You know, your schedule is just going to be a gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, always is, and especially with the Iowa Alliance schools leaving the conference. It's just, and before you would only play you were only held to playing like the CIML Central or CIML Iowa, wherever you got placed division wise. And now you don't avoid anybody. You're going to play every one of those teams during the season. And every one of those teams, probably since 2016, has had a chance to get into the state tournament. And it's typically 6 out of 8 teams have been, I think since 2016, have been CIML schools at the largest class.
Well, you mentioned the run that Johnston went on at the end of last year. Of course, last year they started 3-4, but then they posted a 2-1 win over your team in late April, and they never lost again. They won their last 13 games. You know, so that really showed the importance, you know, that you can lose a game here or there early on. It's more important to peak later on, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge, is like every game might impact your rankings, but those rankings aren't going to define your worth at the end of the season. They might determine the path and how difficult that path might be. But you take, you know, they got us in overtime last year, and actually right before overtime, I think. And, you know, that was a turnaround moment for them, a big momentum builder. I mean, you knocked off the returning state champs in a game after kind of a slump. And yeah, they never looked back. They kept finding ways, whether it was in PKs or overtime wins, they just continued to find ways all the way through. And so hats off to them for that.
Well, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll probably see you at the game on Saturday. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. And again, our girls, our families, the community appreciates what you do for the student athletes in our area.
You bet. Thanks. All right, you've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had girls soccer coaches Simon Brown of Ankeny and Chris Allen of Ankeny Centennial. I appreciate the time from both of those gentlemen. I enjoyed the conversation. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.